Welcome back to Become a Calm Mama. I am your host. I'm Darlene Childress. I am a life and parenting coach. And I today want to talk about parenting the kid in front of you. So this is something I say often. It's one of my favorite phrases. And I've talked about it a little bit on the podcast in an earlier episode of five things I say the most. But one of the things I talk about is parenting the kid in front of you, not the one you wish you had, or the one you're afraid they'll become. And I want to talk today about this idea because there are three things that come up when we're parenting our kid and they don't act the way we wish they would act, or we don't like their behavior, or we don't like parts of their personality. And emotion comes up from that. And we can have our own thoughts and feelings and then actions that come from the way that we are perceiving our kids. And some of the things that I want to talk about today are really sort of the problems when we look at our kid and we make judgments about them, either wishing they were different or worried that how they are is going to be how they become when they get bigger. This came up for me because this past week, I was on an amazing trip with my youngest son, Sawyer, who just turned 18. And what we did was I took him on a trip, just the two of us, to Paris. I live in Los Angeles. And we flew across the country, across the ocean, and we spent a week together, just the two of us, in Paris. And it was absolutely amazing. We had the best time, very little conflict between us. I mean, really none. We both kind of dealt with our feelings, even though it was complicated. But I also got to spend a lot of time with him, right? And get to know him and see who he is right now. I got to I wasn't really parenting him that much, but just being with the kid in front of me, getting to know my son as he is now as this 18-year-old. Parenthetically, he turned 18 while we were there. And for his 18th birthday, that was the day that we booked the Eiffel Tower. And so we went to the top, all the way to the top. It was a beautiful evening. It was the only clear day that we had where there wasn't clouds and it wasn't raining. And we were at the top right at sunset and we had a little champagne toast and he got to celebrate his 18th birthday, on the top of the Eiffel Tower. I mean, how amazing is that, right? So cool. And so I feel really, really grateful that I had that opportunity. But like I said, I got to spend a lot of time with him. And there were definitely points of time where I'm like, oh, whoa, this is who you are. This is how you think. You know, this is your young man attitude towards whatever. And I found myself sometimes feeling not angry, but uncomfortable or sad or disappointed, or, you know, I had some emotion about it. And I wanted to really explore that for myself and talk about it on the podcast, because when we have a person that we're in a relationship with and we make their behavior mean something negative, then that is going to sour the way that we interact with them. And it's going to sour our relationship with them, and it's going to sour their relationship with themselves, particularly if you're their parent. So it's really important to work on how we think and feel about our kids and not put that negative attitude or negative judgment about their behavior. Now, that's really hard, right? Because as a parent, our responsibility is to help our kids, you know, learn how to be in a community, how to be in a relationship with themselves and with others. And that means there's being polite, having manners, being generous, being kind, all of these different values that we have that we want to see in our kids. And when they're young, we sometimes see sort of the opposite of that. Last couple of weeks I talked about, you know, when your kid is lying to you or when they say, I hate you, and how easy it is to look at your kid when they're lying and be like, oh my God, they're becoming a liar. They don't have, you know, they don't have the values that I have. Or they say, I hate you. That's so disrespectful. I'm raising a disrespectful child. And what happens is that we get kind of caught up in our own head about that behavior, and it prevents us from actually parenting our children. It prevents us from actually teaching them the skills that they need in order to become who they're meant to be. So we have to accept how they are right now from a neutral place and to see it as a part of their, either part of their personality that hasn't fully developed yet, or part of their skills or values that they haven't had an opportunity to learn yet. Do you see how I'm saying yet? Because this is a big part of the perspective I want you to take from this podcast episode, is that your children are on a journey of development. So the three problems that I see when you're parenting the kid in front of you and you don't like them, what happens is we either, problem number one is that we make their behavior mean something about us. So I'm going to talk about that. So if we're looking at their behavior and we're making it about us, like I'm a bad parent, that creates a problem. If we look at their our kid, problem number two is if we make it seem like that's who they are from now on. So looking at our kid and making their current behavior mean something about the future. Like, oh, they are disrespectful. They're going to become disrespectful. Oh, they are lying. They're going to become a liar. Oh, they're selfish. They're going to be a selfish person. When you are looking at their behavior in the present and you're making it mean something about the future, that is a problem. So that's problem number two. And then problem number three is if you look at their behavior and you make it mean that something is wrong with them, like that at their core, they are bad. Like there's something wrong with their personality. They're almost sociopathic or something. Like if you look at them and you're like, I do not like this person, and that something is wrong with people who act like that, that is really going to make it, it's going to mess up your kid. Okay. So I don't mean to be like too super scary here, but these three things, if you look at your kid's behavior and you make it mean something about you, you make it something about the future, or make it mean something that's wrong with them, those three are parenting traps that will get you into some trouble. Now, you're going to listen to this and you'll be like, I've done all three of those things. Me too. I want to offer to you that the awareness of the thoughts that you have is the beginning of shifting them. You cannot change something unless you see it. And you're not motivated to change something unless you see that maybe something's not working about it. And so I want you to not use this podcast episode as a way to judge yourself and condemn yourself and be like, oh, I've already screwed up my kid, you know. Even if your kid is like 20 and you have 20 years of, you know, this kind of baggage, it's fine. Just fix it. Apologize. Move forward and make a commitment to shift how you think and feel about them. So I'm going to talk a lot about each one and then give you some ways to shift. So this is your invitation to grow yourself. And you cannot grow if you are judging yourself. If you don't like how you've been, then say thank you to the past because it served you for some reason, and then move forward into a new pattern. Okay? So let's get into if you make it mean something about you. So imagine that you have a kid and they are at a birthday party, and you know it's their birthday party, say, and you know there's a kid who wants to play with their new toy. And you're like, oh, go ahead and play with your toys. Your friends aren't going to be here that long. Let them play with your toys. And they're like, no, I don't want them to play with my toys. No, everyone needs to leave my house. Get out of here.
You've seen this, right? Like, you know, kids get like, get out of my house. I don't want you here anymore. And you then start to worry how the other parents are judging your kid's behavior. And you look at their behavior and you're like, oh my gosh, I must be a bad parent if my kid acts this way. When you are thinking, I've done something wrong and that's why my kid acts this way, or I'm a bad parent and that's why they act this way, you are going to get stuck in a self-centered trap. And what happens is that you can end up being, I want you to be neutral about their behavior. But if you're personalizing it, then you're not in their narrative, you're in yours. And you might overparent, be over strict, over harsh, over mean, too quick. Don't talk like that. That's not nice. Don't let, you know, we get like a little bit into correction before we go to connection. So this is where I am cautioning to you that not to make their behavior mean something about you. It is information. It's just data. It's just a like, oh, wow, this child right now in this moment is struggling with this thing. They need support. They need tools. But if you are worried that everyone is, you know, going to judge you, it makes it a lot harder to be present in the moment and offer the child the support and the tools that they need. Now, I get it. What I am saying is hard to do. So I had an interaction like this on our trip, just one, where, you know, I'm sure that my behavior sometimes was not great for my kids. It's funny because now that I have an adult child, he'll see me through the lens of like adult to adult. Sometimes if I'm in like, I'm being too sharp or mean or rude to like a healthcare provider or something like that, my son later will say to me like, wow, you were really harsh there. Like, you know, like he's aware of my behavior. So I am not perfect, nor are your children perfect, right? It's just not a really helpful thing for a person in a relationship to be like, oh, you're acting that way because I did something wrong. It takes the personal responsibility away from the other person. It takes the agency away from the other person. Your child needs to believe that they have influence and power over how they act, that they can change their behavior, that they can learn about themselves. So when you personalize it and you become the self-centered person and make it about you, you prevent your child from learning and growing. Instead of saying, how does this behavior affect me? How does it reflect on me? What are people going to say about me? I'd rather you start thinking, huh, how is this behavior going to affect my child? If they keep going in this way, what might happen? What skill is missing here? What do they need to learn here? And if you can look at behavior as just a strategy, right? I talk about it all the time on the podcast, that behavior is a strategy that we use to communicate our feelings and unmet needs. So if your child is behaving in a way that is unkind, you know, disrespectful, harsh, whatever they're doing, that is because they have a feeling that they're overwhelmed by, that they don't know how to cope with. They are lacking a skill. And when you are calm and you are present and you're not in your own head and making it mean everything about you, you can say, huh, what do you need here? Let me support you. Let's problem solve. And if you give your kids the skills they need in real time while they're dealing with their, you know, emotions and while they're learning these things, then they grow up and actually they don't become the thing that you're worried about. So that takes me to number two, is when there's parts of our kid that we don't like and we make it mean something about the future. So we catastrophize or worst case scenario their behavior and we play it out in a negative way and we play it out to the future. What that does is it prevents your child from growing and changing. It pigeonholes them. It creates a small narrow window of a personality type. Oh, you are unkind. Oh, you're selfish. You're not a generous person. You're not a loving person. You're not a respectful person. The child that they pull that identity in and that becomes part of their self-concept. And then it gets like hardened. How if you leave clay out, right, it will become hard. But if you keep molding it and wetting it and manipulating it, you can keep changing it. So we don't want to, you know, put that into our child and be like, this is who you are or this is who you're becoming. Instead, I would rather you be able to say, oh, this is where you are right now. And you have so much time to grow and change and become. I want you to think about yourself in middle school or yourself in high school. It's harder for you to think about who you were when you were real little, but I actually remember like doing bad things when I was little or saying inappropriate things. and not necessarily knowing that they were wrong, not necessarily knowing they were bad, and needing to be taught, oh, if I do this, this hurts someone else, and that's not who I want to be. So learning how to approach your child from, hey, right now you're learning and growing and struggling, and I'm going to help you learn. But if we look at them and we say, you know, oh, this is who you are now, this is who you're going to become, this is like set in stone, that is really difficult. So thinking about you as a little kid, thinking about how much you've grown and changed, how different you are. We were talking about this during the Parenting Teen Support Group. I have this monthly support group for parents of teens. If you're interested, let me know. We can get you in there. But we meet once a month and we just talk about what it's like to raise teens, and we talk about the struggles and challenges. And one of the things is we feel when you're raising teens, like you're running out of time. You know, that this is who they are, and you don't have any more time to teach them, or that, you know, it's like, it feels like they're done. And so this mom was talking about how she's like, I'm not the same person I was in high school. Like, I've changed a lot. And she's like, I'm like version 2.0. And then she's like, or 3.0 or 4.0. And we started laughing about how probably every decade of our life is a new version. I've like, Darlene 2.0 was my 20s. Darlene 3.0 is my 30s. Darlene 4.0 is now in my 40s. And so we all have these versions of ourselves. And our core self is true and lovable and worthy and wonderful, just like you are. And your children's core self is totally, unconditionally worthy of love and acceptance. And some of their behaviors need work. This mom said, she said, you know, I learned about myself that like some of my behaviors, you know, didn't work for me anymore. And it's like, well, we only learn that because we've made mistakes. We hurt people. We cause problems. We lose jobs. We, you know, don't reach a goal. It's like through obstacles, we grow. So I want you to think about your kids as like version 1.0. Some of you have kids 0 to 10. They're like in like 0.0, like they're 0 version. This is like version beta. There's not even really like who they're going to be. They haven't even gone through adolescence yet. So don't pigeonhole your kids. I also sometimes talk about this when I talk about teens, is that we want to think of them as being done. Like Sawyer, he just turned 18. Okay, I'm done, right? I raised an adult. And so he's done. Like my work is done, whatever. And it's not, because I'm not doing anything. He's him. He's growing. He's changing. I'm always going to have the ability to speak love into his life and to speak guidance into his life, because I've been doing that all along. I have been working really hard to not judge him and pigeonhole him and make his behavior mean anything about me, and just allow him to be who he is and love and unconditionally accept that person, while also helping guide him towards the best version of himself. And so he's not done. And I think about it like a cake, kind of. When you're baking, there are certain things that you put in the oven that you aren't supposed to open the oven while the thing is baking. Maybe you don't know this, because opening that oven door changes what's happening inside. And so you might want to open the oven to check if something is done. And when you open it, you're letting all the steam out, or you're changing the temperature, and that changes the chemicals that are like inside of like the baking soda or baking powder or whatever that's inside the cake. Ironically, I looked at this up because I was like, which kinds of things are you not supposed to open the oven for? And one is a Victoria sponge cake. And it's because when you open the door, you are letting in the cold air and you're losing some of that moist, hot air. And then that actually makes the cake get denser and even collapse. Like that's also true if you make like a popover. If you open the door, it will flatten. And so with your teens, not to belabor this, but with your teens, I don't want you to be looking at who they are at 15 or 16 and being like, oh, you're cooked. It's like, no, they're still in the oven. Do not judge. Don't start poking around to see if they're done. They're not. Version 1.0 is not finished yet. Let the process happen. When I looked this up, by the way, it was like, it said cornbread is less sensitive. And I was thinking to myself, some of us are raising kids who are like fragile Victoria sponge or, you know, popovers, and they're going to take longer in the oven and we really shouldn't judge them. And then others are like cornbread. You're like, they're fine. You can open and look at them and they're fine. So I don't know if that's helpful, but I was thinking about it. I was like, well, I don't have cornbread. I'm not baking cornbread over here. I've got kids who have, you know, they're complicated. They got to work themselves out. So Lincoln's about to turn 20. I'm like, oh, we're getting into Lincoln 2.0, which is really fun. If you can lighten up about the future and just kind of be like, this is who they are right now. Parent the kid in front of you, not the one you wish you had or the one you're afraid they'll become. Now, the last problem is when you make their behavior mean that something is wrong with them at their core. Like that they're disturbed, like that they're rotten. And I wanted to read a couple of quotes. I've talked about this book before on the podcast, but it's The Myth of Normal by Gabor Mate. And the book is the most powerful parenting book I've ever read, and it's not a parenting book. So if you are at all curious about, like, you know, how trauma works and development and what humans need to thrive and how when we don't get our needs met, how that shows up in our life, this book is phenomenal. But he talks about the two core needs of every human, and I've talked about it on the podcast, of attachment, which is for our version of safety, and then our need for authenticity. So your child needs to feel safe and they need to feel accepted. What your child needs in order to grow up and mature is they need to feel emotionally safe. We cannot grow and change when we're feeling judged or not worthy or bad at our core. If I'm bad at my core, I can't change. I have no agency. But if I feel as if I have unconditional worth and I feel safe in my relationships, then I'm able to go and grow in the world. So what your kids really need is they need you to like who they are. When you like who they are at their core, their essential self, and you can speak to them, like, yes, you're acting selfish, but you're not a selfish person. You're saying sharp words, but you're not unkind. You are kind. You can speak into your child's life what you want them to believe about themselves, and communicating your values and saying you're worthy no matter how you behave. You need to be the one who first separates their self, their core self, from their actions. When you do that, when you're able to say, yes, this person, my child, is acting this way, but that doesn't mean that's who they are, then they get to grow up believing that about themselves. They can say, I make mistakes, but I'm not a mistake. I cause problems sometimes, but I'm not a problem. I feel so strongly about this because I know this is the biggest thing. If you could give your kids the gift of self-love, they won't have to unravel a ton of pain. And the way that we end up like transmitting that sense of self-loathing is in these subtle ways that we are like, no, don't act like that. You are unkind. Don't be unkind. I can't even model it, to be honest with you, because I've practiced not thinking this way for so long. Like, instead of saying like, you're selfish, you're rude, right? Really being like, hey, you're being rude. Are you okay? What do you need right now? Do you need to take a break? Are you overwhelmed? Because I know you're not actually rude. I know you're not a mean person. That is so powerful, especially for boys and girls, but girls especially need to be told, like, you are not your actions. You are worthy. You are lovable. You are good exactly as you are, even when you act badly. You are not bad. Brené Brown is so wonderful the way she explains shame. And she says, shame is something's wrong with me. And guilt is I've done something wrong. And if you want to shame-proof your kids, which I know you do, we have to really separate at this, like, you know, this level of behavior from self. I can act shitty, but it doesn't mean I am shitty. So when you are able to love your child and communicate your unconditional acceptance of them and their self, their unconditional worth, even in the midst of them acting badly, that is magic. That is what we're working on here. So I want to normalize that your first instinct when you see your kids misbehave is to catastrophize the future, to make it mean something bad about you as a parent, something you did wrong, and take all this responsibility, which takes away their agency. You may end up thinking like, oh my God, my kid is just an asshole. You know, that's who they are. That's just what they are. Your first instinct might be to go fall into these three traps. And that's okay. Okay. It just catch yourself and listen to this podcast episode again and commit back. And that's why I think that a delight list or a, you know, positive parenting vision, these two tools I teach, are so valuable, because then you can go back and say, who is my child at their core? And every human at their core is loving. We all want to be in relationships with other people. We all want to be kind and loving. And it's only when our pain takes over that that core self gets interrupted. So recognizing who your child is at their core is like who they were at the baby, like right when they were born. That little baby is perfect, right? It's so lovable. They can't do anything wrong. They are just enough. And it's only as they grow and they, you know, express themselves in different ways and their behavior shows up that we start to worry. So their core self is their essential, worthy, lovable, perfect self. See that person and then parent the behavior, which behavior is a form of communication and it shows a skill gap. That's it. Whew, okay. I wanted to share all this. This is like all been on my mind for a while. So I'm glad to have done this episode. I hope it was helpful for you. Lately, I've been receiving some emails and messages on Instagram from some of you. And I just want you to know, I love them so much. Like, it brings me so much joy to hear how the podcast is impacting you and how it's affecting you. And some of you have asked for podcast episodes, so I have those planned. So if there's a topic you want, you can email me and ask me to do an episode on it. That's fun. And yeah, just reach out. It's really great. I want to have I feel like we're in community. So this week, I want you to go out. When you see your kid's behavior, catch yourself, reset your mindset, noticing if you're making it mean that something's wrong with them, the future is ruined, and that something's wrong with you. That's when you need to reframe. Okay, mamas and dads, I know you listen too. I hope you have a great week, and I will talk to you next time.